Praise God. We've sung, we've read of God's promises that were fulfilled in Jesus' birth, his life and his death. Promises of good news, of great joy, that are for all the people, that are for you, that are for me, because we're needy people in need of a Savior. And God provided. God the Son was that Savior. He is that Savior. If you have your Bibles, you can open them or just listen carefully again to Luke 2. If you don't have a Bible, if you're here and you do not have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. Raise your hand. We have some men who'd give you one. Looks like everybody, if you don't have a Bible, just keep your hand up. We'll have somebody put a Bible in your hand, and you can open it so you can see for yourself the words of Luke chapter 2. Just listen to the simple, understated words of Luke 2:7 that describe the first Christmas. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the guest room. Think of that first Christmas from a worldly perspective, of what the world around would have thought. That night was unremarkable. It was just another evening in human history. To a distracted, indifferent world, it was the odd scene. Tragic, maybe, sad, but just the scene of a poor young woman giving birth among animals. Most of those who looked on would have had their minds on the taxes that needed to be paid, or the travel arrangements of going to the place of your family origin, or maybe their work, shepherds out in the field, an innkeeper keeping the inn, and countless other busy things that demand our attention. Not much different from many of us. I suspect that you're like me, and there's a lot going on in your world right now. Maybe some joys, maybe some sadnesses, definitely busyness. But most that night were oblivious to their real plight. They were sinners destined to face the judgment from their holy creator. Think about that. In our busyness, as we go about all that we had in front of us today, all that you might have on your plate tonight, tomorrow, in the days, weeks, years to come, what might not be first and foremost on your mind is that you are a sinner destined to face your holy creator. That's the plight of all of humanity. And those people in Bethlehem that night, like us, were in mortal danger, not knowing that they needed a rescue. From the world's perspective, it was just another night. People too distracted, or maybe not even knowing, that God's promises were unfolding exactly as he had prophesied and promised for centuries. That is the earthly perspective, indifferent, distracted, even rebellious oblivion. But think about it from heaven's perspective. They knew that this wasn't a normal night. All of history leading up to this moment, since God promised in Genesis 3:15, immediately after humanity's first curse-bringing sin, God promised that a seed would crush the serpent's head. Through Abraham came the promised blessing of all nations. Isaiah foretold a virgin bearing the name Emmanuel. That means God with us would be born from a virgin. And that born one, Isaiah further prophesied, would be the one to suffer and bear humanity's sins. We heard all those promises read in God's word. Micah would go on to pinpoint Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah, the city of David, the king. from whose line the eternal king would come. These were precise, prophesied promises planned in eternity past, made centuries prior to the events that were unfolding that evening, and heaven knew it. The angels knew firsthand the horror of not having a Savior. We take for granted, maybe if you've heard the gospel message, that if you sin, there's a way of forgiveness. God wasn't obligated to give us that. Angels who sinned faced eternal condemnation without mercy or hope of a rescue. And now those angels watched as their eternal, holy, infinite, glorious Creator took on human flesh, remaining fully God, yet truly becoming fully man. They marveled, we should marvel, at the Father's love, the Son's humility, and the divine wisdom on display in this unfolding rescue mission, beginning at the feeding trough that would culminate at the cross and make possible Jesus' victorious return yet in the future to reign with his saved people. Heaven celebrated because this birth marked the moment when holy God drew near to sinful humanity, offering forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal hope in a way that upheld God's perfect justice. So I promise you, in heaven, there was no indifference, distraction, or rebellion that night. Instead, we see, look at Luke 2:14, songs that burst forth as the army of God sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." Heaven's joyous perspective couldn't stay in heaven, and it was shared with shepherds, oblivious, not deserving, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel came and proclaimed good news that they needed and that we need to hear. We need to hear and remember it this Christmas. Listen to this news, even though you've probably heard it many times. We've sung of it so many times tonight. Listen to this news as if it was the first time. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Every word of that angel's message matters. Today, the promises were fulfilled at last. They were in the city of David, exactly as was prophesied. And there was born a Savior. Because we need a Savior, God sent a Savior in his love. Because our sins against God, because our sins have been against God, without exception, every single one of us needs a Savior that only God could provide, who is Christ. He's the long-awaited and promised Messiah. Christ is the Lord. The pinnacle of the unthinkable good news is that the baby who is born, listen to this. This is true, and it is remarkable, and it is the foundation of the good news of great joy, that the Savior, who's Christ, who is born, is the Lord, God himself, the sovereign creator, who entered his creation, became one of us to rescue us from God himself when he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Jesus was born so that he could die, not for his own sins, but for the sins of any who would believe. And if you're hearing me, you, just like me, have sins that need to be forgiven. That's bad news. You might say that's a downer this Christmas. Why are you talking about sins? Well, because it sets the stage for good news. If you don't know that you need a Savior, you won't know to rejoice when that Savior comes. And that Savior has come. He is Jesus. So don't allow the busyness, distractions, the weight of sin or familiarity with this good news keep you from responding. When the shepherds heard that good news, they didn't turn around and keep watching their flocks. They responded. That news changed everything. They had to go see. So if you're not living for Christ by faith, repent of your sins. Trust him fully. Embrace this good news. Embrace this Jesus who was born, who died for you, from God, who loves you. And for those of us who already trust Jesus, let's not grow comfortable, complacent, but let's continue to marvel, respond in worship, and live lives transformed by the truth that God himself came to rescue us. And let's be joyful. In a season where the world finds lesser things to be cheerful in, a season, festivities, family, whatever they think that there is to be joyful in. And those things are good. They're good gifts from God. Let us who know be truly, unmovably joyful because the Lord has come. So we're going to close our service singing Joy to the World. We're going to proclaim Christ's victory over sin's curse. Sin has indeed touched every part of creation, our hearts, our lives, the entire world. But Christ's redeeming work reaches, we're going to sing it, far as the curse is found, bringing redemption, healing, eternal hope to all who trust in him. This is good news of great joy that we sing now. Band, come up. Lead us as we rejoice in the Savior born to reverse this curse. Let's pray and then sing. Father, thank you for sending your Son to rescue us from the curse of sin. Make us your people. Jesus, we worship, we adore you, our victorious Savior. Help us live lives that display the wonder and reality of your salvation. May this Christmas transform us, filling our hearts and lives with genuine worship and joy. I pray that all that we do from here, this Christmas Eve and tomorrow and every day from then on, that it would be done to glorify you, in awe of you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.